Welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the Alzheimer's Association Delaware Valley Chapter, we have Frederica Wash. She is the Associate Director for Diversity and Inclusion, and Val Nunnenkamp, who is the co-chair of this year's Party in Purple. Welcome, you two. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, Frederica, I think you've been on here before. It's been some time, however. And so can we get started with what's going to sound like the really dumb question? What is Alzheimer's? Is it a single disease, or is this something like a multiple or a range of dementia disorders?
Well, dementia, we say it's an umbrella term. There are lots of dementias, and there are lots of causes for dementia. So Alzheimer's is actually a cause for dementia. And it's the most
common, diagnosed?
Yes, it's the most common of the dementias. The second most common would be your vascular dementia. So when a person goes to the doctor and they're talking about, I'm having real problems with my memory, I have a lot of memory loss, the doctor needs to think about that and ask the question is, well, how much difficulty are you having with your memory? Because we look at memory where there's a lot of memory loss that disrupts life. That's the kind of memory loss. And so that's one of the first things that most people notice. And that will send them to the doctor, or that will have their family and friends asking them questions about, you know, what's going on with you.
Does a doctor first look at physical disorders and work on maybe the blood pressure issue or look for underlying causes that might be causing the memory loss? Even sleep deprivation can cause fogginess.
Yes, the doctor should be looking at all of those things. You're absolutely right. The doctor should, you know, do a thorough exam and then begin to see what's going on. You know, most of the time when we're having an exam with our doctor, they're doing it by elimination. Okay, well, you don't have a fever, you don't have a cough, therefore it's not this. So, and that's the same thing. They need to take the time and have the time to eliminate certain things, because you're absolutely right. It could be something else.
Well, I know that memory change is obviously the first thing that people will notice. And Val, you jump in whenever you wish to, because now Val had this situation with his grandparent. Mm-hmm. What are the symptoms? What are the things that distinguish a dementia from maybe a physical cause? Or how do we know that it is a dementia?
Well, you need to have the diagnosis. And you need to think about, well, what else could be going on? Does the person have a STD, you know, or anything like that, or UTI, I should have said, rather than an STD. Does the person have a UTI, a urinary tract infection?
Yes.
And, you know, or are they on some kind of medication? You know, what is going on with that person that the doctor and the person needs to consider? You know, could it be this? You know, how are my numbers, my blood pressure, my diabetes and cholesterol? What are those numbers like? You know, are they up too high? Do I need to lose some weight? You know, have I been, you know, am I really overweight? Not just 10 or 15 or 20 pounds, but am I 50 pounds overweight, 100 pounds overweight?
And I'll interject on that statement, because I really think that what most people notice about the difference between the dementia and the Alzheimer's person is a sudden different personality rather quickly in the person. For instance, someone that's normally bubbly, hello, how are you, how have you been, I miss seeing you, to a quick change of, do I know you? I have we seen each other recently? And you're like, yes, we were just having lunch Tuesday. Oh, that's right. So it's that sudden noticeable change that sometimes friends that visit once a month don't pick up on, even the family doctor. Sometimes you go to a doctor in June, come back in July, and the doctor didn't notice it in June, but the family notices it in July. Like, mom doesn't know me.
Well, I've always heard the old saying that the difference between memory loss and a dementia is you can't find your car keys.
Mm-hmm.
You find them and you don't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm. That's,
correct.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's very telling, because like Val is saying, if you didn't recognize the person, you were just with them a week ago, then that's serious.
A lot of short term is fogged.
I pulled down your know the 10 signs, and it includes completing familiar tasks, mm-hmm. understanding visual images and spatial relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm bad at that anyway. Mm-hmm. New problems with words in speaking mm-hmm. or writing. New problems. Yeah. Confusion with time and place and challenges in planning or solving problems. So all of these are found, of course, at your website. And we're going mm-hmm. to always remind people that you can, whatever we talk about today, you will find at ALZ.org. That's ALZ.org for the Delaware Valley chapter. Do a /DelVal. But let's get back into this. So you get a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or a dementia. And the sad thing is that it's not just the caregivers finding this out. Oftentimes, it's the person who has the disease learns this while they are mm-hmm. still capable of making decisions, making plans, mm-hmm. or coming to face this knowledge. Mm-hmm. What does the Alzheimer's Association do? What are the programs that you offer for someone who is diagnosed?
Well, when a person is diagnosed, we're hoping that their doctor will tell them to give us a call. And when they give us a call, we can then talk through, listen to what they have to say, and find out what are they thinking about? What do they say they need? So we can help them with planning. We have a care consultation person who can help them with that. And they have our helpline number, which is 1-800-272-3900. And that's available to them 24/7. No matter what time of day it is, holidays, 2 a.m. in the morning, they will get a live person. And that person is usually a master's level social worker or public health worker so that they can talk through any situation. But, you know, we do a lot of things. We have consumer education programs that they can go to learn more, because I'm sure Val would agree that the more you know about this disease, the better off you're going to be, because you need the information to help you make decisions and to understand mm-hmm. this is a brain disease. Your brain is not functioning, and we can talk about why that's happening, but that is the important thing. The person has to realize that it is not a mental health issue. Although the behaviors may look like mental health issues, it is a disease of the brain.
What is the research going on right now? You alluded to weight. And before this, before we sat down this morning to talk, we were talking about diet and exercise and choices that you make early in life may have an effect. But yet we don't know. And genetics, race, ethnicity can play a part in mm-hmm. all of this.
Right. We don't know. But the researchers are saying things like, okay, let's look at what we're eating. You know, let's get ourselves onto a really good lifestyle change, eating healthier, getting exercise, watching our numbers. And those numbers, of course, relate to our blood pressure, our diabetes, cholesterol, and weight. And so we're hoping that our younger people especially will begin to really take that seriously. We also need to be socially involved. And it doesn't mean that you hang out every night until 2 a.m., you know, discoing or whatever, but it does mean that you do need to have relationships with people that you enjoy being with, you know. We need to look at our spiritual self. And, you know, if you're not a religious person, that's okay. But, you know, what do you believe and how is that working for you? You know, what do you need to think about? Maybe you need to make some changes in those areas. And the exercise can simply be walking and increasing the number of steps that you're doing. You don't have to get an expensive gym membership if that's not something that you can afford to do. But we just need to look at all those things.
Mm-hmm. But what about genetics? Are we predisposed by our race or by mm-hmm. our parents? Does genetics play a part in this? What do we know?
I would say yes to that question. I believe that, in fact, with my own self, my grandmother was diagnosed first that we knew of, and then shortly thereafter was the grandfather, and then shortly thereafter was my uncle, and then shortly after that was another uncle. So I saw four family members in a period of 10 years affected. Again, age, here we go again, where a lot of folks sit back and think this is an old person's disease. Not true. We've seen folks as young as 40, 45 years old be affected by this disease, where it's often misdiagnosed and mistreated because they're so young.
I'm going to ask about that in a little bit, but now let's go into the prognosis. If you are diagnosed with dementia, if you are diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it's the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. What's the progression? What's the prognosis for someone who is diagnosed? And oh, God forbid, you are 45, 50. You're still employed with a family that you yourself may be raising.
Yeah, that makes it very difficult when the person is young and they have not retired. If they're still working and raising, you know, children, their children may be, like you're saying, teenagers or something. It makes it extremely difficult because they're not going to be able to work much longer, you know, and it's really an individual situation because, you know, some people, they're able to work maybe 5 years. Some people will have to quit next year. So it just depends on how this disease progresses with that individual. Alzheimer's is a slow progressive disease. It takes years, and the researchers are telling us that prior to a diagnosis, you've probably had it for 10 years or more even. So now it's just the symptoms are very open and people can see it. You're and the person experiencing it can feel it and know what's going on. So, you know, it's time for that person to say, okay, what can I do? And it's really thinking about, okay, I'm experiencing short-term memory loss, and how is it affecting my life? How is it affecting my job if they're not retired? And they really have to consider that. And with that, they need help. The family and whoever the caregiver is, that is a big help, but they need to be able to talk to someone about it. And, you know, a therapist even, you know, to help them stay focused on what it is that they need to do.
Now, I'm going to guess that the Alzheimer's Association does have programming for caregivers and families. What do you recommend and what do you offer for them? And then we're going to go into some of the other programming that you have.
Well, with caregivers, we have caregiver support groups. We also have consumer education where they can go to workshops because they really do need to understand what's going on, and they also need to be able to talk about how it's affecting them. And, you know, they could be just extremely frustrated. It is the most difficult caregiving situation ever. Because the person is unable, in a lot of cases, to tell you what they're experiencing. Therefore, they begin to act it out. And as they act it out, the behaviors could be very negative. So as the disease progresses, for instance, they may have a headache. The headache could be due to their high blood pressure, but we don't know. So the headache is there. And instead of them being able to say to you as a caregiver, I need a Tylenol or I've got this terrible headache, because of the disease, they're unable to tell you that. They don't have any words for that. They just don't know how to express it, so they act it out. Mm-hmm. And those actions could be very negative.
Mm-hmm. What about support groups? Do they help?
Yes. I think support groups are just really amazing. I know of several, and I've talked with a lot of folks that have a family member involved with Alzheimer's, and the support group has been like their saving grace. I mean, it just gets them through on a daily basis. And the support groups are really a big part of getting these folks feeling like they're improving and they're going to get better. And we do see a big change in the Alzheimer person, the person diagnosed with Alzheimer's mood after support group.
Are there resources for caregivers, daycares, respite care? Is there a clearinghouse? Is there a place to go to find care that is not provided by a family or friend to the person?
Yes, there is. There is just what you said. There's in-home health care. There are daycare places for people to go who have the disease. And what they need to do, of course, again, is to call us on our helpline and find out what's available to me. What can I do to help this person? Especially if the caregiver wants to try to remain working themselves, then they're going to need someone to take care of the person at home or go to a daycare for that person. So there are resources, and it depends. I often talk about the fact that it's the the family that's middle class, where it's difficult because financially this disease can just take the financial down to zero in families. However, if the person has no income or very, very low income, then our counties, each one of our counties has an area agency on aging, and they can help out, help get that person care. And of course, if the person is fortunate enough to be financially well off, then they can afford to have, you know, people come into the home and all of the other things that they need.
This is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and today we're talking to Frederica Waugh, MSW. She is the Associate Director for Diversity and Inclusion for the Alzheimer's Association Delaware Valley Chapter, and Val Noonenkamp, who is the co-chair of this year's Party in Purple. And we're going to find out about that in just a couple of minutes. If you'd like more information about anything we talk about, go to alz.org. That's alz.org/DelVal, or call them 24/7 at the helpline 800-272-3900. That's 800-272-3900. Let's very quickly touch on public policy, because there are more of us aging than ever before, and it's going to hit this country just like a ton load all at once, needing care. We have insurance issues. You talked about that it does bleed the middle class, especially. What's the Alzheimer's Association stand on all of this? And touch about also public safety issue. I think, Val, you alluded to this something. How are you working with the people who are out there, the first responders, the police, et cetera? There's a question in there. Just start wrestling it to the ground.
Well, you know, we offer training, and we have done some training with police and with first responders, and we'd like to do more of that, because we don't want them to we're not trying to make them, you know, people who are going to diagnose, but we simply want them to recognize that if someone is driving erratically, it may not be because they're drinking or on drugs. If they have a fender bender, it may be because they're confused at the moment and they're not sure where they are or where they're going. So we just want them to understand those things, so that those types of mistakes are not made by them, and having a person, you know, put in jail or take a breathalyzer only to find out that they have not been drinking and not know what to do with that person. So we're very interested in having our public service people be informed about this disease.
And as most of have noticed, when we're driving and we see those
silver alert,
exactly, silver alert. And it's amazing. I mean, I've witnessed it myself driving, where I've noticed someone that was sort of swaying and so forth. And I always write down the license plate number and so forth, because if I do see it, I want to pull, you know, try to help out as much as I can with Silver Alert.
Yeah.
I think it was ingenious when that was brought to tuition, because it has helped, especially those, and you can imagine, you're home with your family member and you fall asleep and take a little nap and wake up and dad is gone with the car. It is the most frightening thing you can imagine, that dad drove away with Alzheimer's in a car. So they can alert the media, the public, everybody on the highway with that silver alert that this person is out there.
What about public policy here? This is something that obviously the government is going to have to be involved in, because there are so many of us.
Well, we're gaining more and more funds from the government for research, and the research is definitely needed in all areas. You know, we're not just looking for a cure. We're looking for how this disease can be prevented or slowed down. We need money, for instance, to be sure that our public servants have this information and get the education. And so we need to understand about lifestyle. So, you know, money for research is extremely important. We do a lot of events, and all of our events are fundraisers for money, and most of that money goes to research. So it's you know, public policy is very important. Getting bills passed, speaking with our legislators, we do that for each state. And we also go to Washington to talk to our congresspeople at least once a year. And we have a particular arm of the Alzheimer's Association where they can lobby. And this is not done through our 501c3 nonprofit. It is another form of a nonprofit so that we don't lose our 501c3. Mm-hmm. But we do have people that are working all day, every day about public policy.
Now, you are the Associate Director for Diversity and Inclusion. What mm-hmm. does that entail?
Well, it means that we are looking to be sure that all groups are considered and whether these groups have any particular situations where they're not getting the proper information and care. For instance, we know that African Americans are 2 times more likely to have Alzheimer's, and our brothers and sisters who are Latino Hispanic people are 1.5 times more likely. We also know that the LGBT communities are having, you know, Alzheimer's because they are like everyone else. And so we want to make sure that they're getting the information about it and that they are not having as much difficulty with finding places for as resources. So those are the three major areas that we look at. However, we are looking at everyone, you know, no matter what your ethnicity is or what your background is or what your lifestyle is. So we just, you know, but we are focusing on those particular groups, including our faith communities, because we know that the information there, and we know that there are a lot of disparities in those areas.
So all of this, though, of course, comes at a cost, and you do have to pay the bills. And so throughout the year, there are fundraising opportunities. Mm-hmm. There are also, I'm going to guess you're looking for volunteers as well.
Definitely.
Volunteers, and will we find that information at alz.org?
Yes, and if you don't find it there, then please call our helpline.
I'm going to guess that you do orientations.
Yeah, and in order to be a volunteer and to learn about the different volunteer positions we have available, you have to start with the orientation. We are going to be doing them in different states because we do cover the southern part of New Jersey and the state of Delaware.
Val, you have a big event coming up. Do you want to give us a little background and a little detail on what's going to happen at the party in purple?
Oh, yes. I'm very, very excited to tell you about our party in purple. This is one of our most sought-after events to attend. Last year was at the Franklin Institute, and we had close to 400 guests this year. We're hoping to make Party in Purple even bigger and better. It will be held at one of Philadelphia's most historic landmarks known as the Please Touch Museum. It will be a fun-filled evening dancing under the Lady Liberty's torch. You could take a moonlight ride on a glimmering carousel, enjoy our wonderful music, our incredible hors d'oeuvres served by Brulé Catering, desserts created by our local pastry chefs, of course, open bar. We need that, of course. You can also play our casino games, Las Vegas style. We will have an unbelievable silent auction this year. We have trips. We have sports memorabilia, A to Z. We have it on our auction board. The adults ages 25 and up can enjoy. This is an unbelievable event that a lot of folks will be just talking about this well into the summer. Purple tie is admired, not required. The gals might want to wear something purple and really, you know, get some excitement going with their outfits. We ask that if you buy your tickets today, if you would love to become a sponsor, 215-561-2919. We have tickets available, and again, 215-561-2919. Our website is alz.org/delval/event/party-in-purple. It takes place March 9th, right when we're ready for spring weather.
And we better have it.
Yes, and it begins at 8 p.m. and wraps up at midnight, and myself and Brooke will be co-chairing this event as we did last year, and we're just excited about this event, and it helps so many people out there, as we just spoke about, raising funds for a disease that is so incredibly needed. to help those in need and make awareness too. I mean, about the disease. There's a lot of folks that do not understand it, and we're always there, you know, to have a good time. But we're also there to answer questions and so forth. But we really hope you can come out and join us. We hope to see you there too.
It sounds like a blast. And wear your purple for awareness.
Yes.
And it's terrible to say, but before the show began, we were sitting there chatting, and I said, you know, of all the things that are awaiting me in my old age, the thing that most scares me and frightens me is dementia and
yes.
Alzheimer's. It was my mother's biggest fear. Mm-hmm. She was actually, I think, kind of grateful when she got cancer because she mm-hmm. said, well, my mind isn't going.
Yes.
That was her
yes.
true mm-hmm. terror. She was
decisions
scared to death of it.
Decisions are easier to make when you have your mind.
And
exactly.
But yet we never talk about it and we don't discuss it. Is awareness a big problem with this disease?
Yes, I would say so. Yes.
We talk about it all the time, but we mm-hmm. don't really talk mm-hmm. about it.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Well, it's very scary if you go back, I don't know how many years, when cancer was whispered. Mm-hmm. You know, no one wanted to talk about it. And unfortunately, we're still in that stage with Alzheimer's. And it came about through Dr. Alois Alzheimer in 1906 mm-hmm. when he realized that his patient was not mentally ill, that there was something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not new or anything like that. I think, you know, it just is one of those things where we need to talk about it. And we really appreciate you, Laura, because you are allowing so many thousands of people to hear this information. But it's very important that we talk about it. It is the sixth leading cause of death. It costs us a lot of money when you talk about Medicare. It costs families a tremendous amount of money. And it's just something that we need to talk about. We need to be able to help people understand not only what the disease is, but how are they going to be a caregiver and how are they going to live with this disease.
In talking about the disease and talking about the progression, the listeners today that are listening into this wonderful program, and you're saying, darn it, I can't really go on that day, and boy, I really wish I could have attended to help Alzheimer's. Even if you can't and you would like to sponsor us in our program, okay, or you would like to do a one-liner, which is only $25. It all helps us at this point in our lives.
Yes.
It all helps. It might help a loved one, a friend who's going through this. Believe me, everyone that suffers with this disease, it may not really be in their family, but it could be someone they love and dearly care for. So if you just wanted to maybe perhaps sponsor us or be in the program, you have a business you want to broadcast, or you just want to put out there a one-liner to give somebody a boost in their life, that also can be done by helping us out. And feel free to give us a call or email us, because you don't have to come to the event as much as we would love it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more the merrier. But
yes.
that also can help us too in a roundabout way. And I just had to share that for those that might have other obligations.
Mm-hmm. I should have terrified us all at the very beginning. Every 65 seconds,
yes.
someone develops the disease.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, at least we should say we find out that somebody
out.
Has
yes.
the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And you
yes.
said 10 years earlier probably was mm-hmm. when it started. 5.7 million of us now. But by 2050, mm-hmm. that is going to be more than double.
Yes.
And
yes.
think of the cost that is coming to our children
yes.
and our
yes.
grandkids
yes.
if we don't do something about that right mm-hmm. now.
Right.
But of course, if we go to your website, we're going to find amazing things like how you can support the mm-hmm. organization. And there are events throughout the years. And don't forget, there's always the walk to end Alzheimer's
oh, yes.
every year.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the great party in purple, which is coming up March 9th at the Please Touch Museum. You can find out about those opportunities as well as volunteer opportunities and how you can get involved through a donation, all at the website. But you'll also find great tips like know the signs
mm-hmm.
and where you can receive help. And you get it through their website. You get it through their helpline. Go to alz.org/DelVal for the Delaware Valley chapter. Or you can call them 24/7 at 1-800-272-3900. Here is where I say good luck on March the 9th at the Please Touch Museum with the Party in Purple. available. More details, of course, on their website. But thank you to my two guests today talking about this, Val Nunnenkamp, who is the co-chair of the Party in Purple, and Frederica Waugh, the Associate Director for Diversity and Inclusion at the Alzheimer's Association Delaware Valley Chapter. Thank you to both again.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you also.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.